Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We have kicked off our core value series. In fact, we kicked it off last week talking about why core values are important for us individually and also as a church. Core values are our guiding principles, right? And we talked about why they're important because they help us to count the cost to make sure that we can finish what we start, but also they help us stay on track, which is also very important. Now, they work best, we talked about, if we hold each other accountable. And so I want to continue in that thought. I wanted to set that up for us so that we can really make the most of this series as we go through our core values. And what we're going to do this week, we're going to start off with the most core of our core values. Jesus is Lord. And we're going to start by reading over in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. It says, "A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, 'If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't carry your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple.'" Jesus was drawing large crowds here, it says. Large crowds were following him, were with him. He had a huge entourage, right? And of course they were. I mean, he was healing folks. He was feeding folks. And I mean, not to mention the entertainment value, right? Like this was better than reality TV. This was before reality TV. This was reality only better because you were hanging with Jesus and every day was an adventure. You didn't know what to expect. And so it was fun. It was amazing. It was incredible. You're seeing the Son of God walk and talk and love and heal and feed. Who wouldn't want to be part of the greatest show on earth? But Jesus didn't want fans. He wanted followers. And he wanted to make sure that those who were with him were really with him, because what he was called to accomplish while he was on earth could not be accomplished with mere fans. He needed people that were all in. And so he decided he was going to thin the crowd by drawing a line in the sand and say, unless this is your heart, unless these are your values, you can't even follow me. You can't do it. Now, celebrities and influencers, they know what it's like to have large followings, and they struggle with questions like, hey, do these people really love me, or are they just with me for what I can give them, right? Are they for me? Do they care about me, or are they trying to get over on me? And one of those people is the rapper Fat Joe. Fat Joe got open on the I Am Athlete YouTube show, and he told a great story about how he decided he needed to thin the crowd.
And then you also heard the saying, everybody can't go. Right? And so I started out with rapping. I made my first millions of dollars. I never thought I would make millions of dollars. I would have 50 guys with me. We all had the same Cadillac truck. We all had chains. Everybody go to jail. I bail them out. I pay for the lawyer. This, that. One time I sat all 50 of them together. We was at the Ritz-Carlton in Puerto Rico. We flew there on two private planes. I'm the only one with money. So I'm sitting there one day, I can't sleep. And I'm looking up at the ceiling. I said, you know what? Call everybody. So I all 50 of the guys come, and I say, yo, listen, man. Damn, I ain't got it. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, God? What do you mean? No, I ain't got it. Like, I don't want to lie to y'all. And I had it.
Right.
But I was checking them.
Same, right, exactly, yeah. Yep.
I was checking them. Yeah. I said, I ain't got it no more. I said, I can't really hold y'all down like that, you know, but you my brothers, but I ain't got it. Out of the 50 guys that was there, only 6 of them said, yo, if you dead broke, I be with you, man, no matter what, every day.
That's crazy.
Those are the 6 guys that still with me now.
Yeah.
Right. You get what I'm saying? Right. So God let me, he always give you, it's always a lesson. So God put that in my head and said, yo, try these dudes, man. See if they really with you. They wasn't really with me.
When I saw that, I loved it. I said, man, Fat Joe is the man. Fat Joe was sitting around like, listen, I'm the only one with money. Do these people really love me? Are they really with me? And he says, 6 people out of 50. Now, I don't know how the other 44 got home, but they fell off ultimately. But I love how Fat Joe says this was from God. Like, God put this on his heart. And really, he took a page out of the book of Jesus, doing exactly what we see Jesus doing in this passage. He thinned the crowd. Now you know what's deep is, what if Jesus said the same thing at some point? You know what, man, I ain't got it. I'm all out of blessings. You're going to have to wait till heaven. That's it. I don't got no more blessings in me. I don't got it. Would we still follow? Would we still be loyal? When is enough enough for us? Just something to think about. Something to think about. For Fat Joe, loyalty was one of his core values. And so he thinned the crowd by drawing a line in the sand. Now, I'll just say this. It may be time for some of us to thin the crowd, all right, in our own lives. And for some of us, the pandemic may have already helped to make that happen. I mean, during this pandemic, if there wasn't a mutual, like, we're going to stay close regardless of not being able to physically see each other or being in the same spaces, then relationships may not have happened or continue to be nurtured, right? So, you know, maybe God has already thinned the crowd in our lives, but it's always good to evaluate that, because as people, I always say that friends are actually something we get to choose. Family, we don't. Blood family, we don't. But friends, we do, and we get to choose who gets to be part of our lives, who allows us into their lives, who consists of that inner circle. And I know for me, it was Jesus thinned the crowd in my life. When I became a Christian at 20 years old, I had a bunch of friends, but all we did was, for the most part, we partied together, we played video games, we smoked, and we drank, and we hung out, and we hollered at girls. But when I went deeper in my life, the majority, like Fat Joe was saying, the majority did not make that turn with me, all right? And so I kept a handful of friends, and those handful of friends continue to love me till this day. Just celebrated one of my boys' 40th, his 40th birthday party, and we got some of those guys that we have continued to be friends, some more than others over the years. But in that moment, it was good because I got to see, man, who's really for me? And I got to decide who I was going to be for. We need to decide who are people in our lives that are good for us, that are helping us move in the right direction, move towards God, be in a healthy place, that it's give and take, that they can even handle us when we get in those low moments in our lives. Because I need somebody that's going to be loyal. At this point in my life, I need somebody that's going to be sincere. I need somebody that's going to say, hey, we're all broken. I got you. You got me. We're in this together. And not everybody's going to make it. And that's okay. That's why you can have different levels of relationships. It's okay. You can have your inner circle, as I like to call them. You can have your friends. You can have your acquaintances. You can have, you know, just people you're cool with, you know, and you can chill with every once in a while. It's all good. No one person can be everything for us, right? So it's good to have some great friends. So think about that. Think about, man, does your crowd need to get thinned out so that you can continue to grow as a person and continue to grow as a Christian? Loyalty matters to me. Loyalty mattered, of course, to Fat Joe. Loyalty matters to Jesus. And he knew what he was called to do. And it was time to figure out who was really with him. And so he decided the way he was going to draw the line in the sand and figure that out was by highlighting one of his core values, submission. And that's my first point. For Jesus to be Lord, we must submit to his values. We got to submit to his values. Now, he are the values we got to submit to in order to follow him. He makes them very clear in that passage. He says, if anybody wants to be my disciple, then you're going to have to value your relationship with me over every other relationship, even over our own lives. So that means that we have to die to ourselves and follow him. And whoever wants to follow Jesus can't have any other leader above him, not even themselves. That's something we have to submit to. Read this commentary about what carrying the cross meant to his audience. This is what it said. When the Romans led a criminal to his execution site, he was forced to carry the cross on which he would die. This showed submission to Rome and warned observers that they had better submit to. So Jesus made this statement to get the crowds to think through their enthusiasm for him. He encouraged those who were superficial either to go deeper or to turn back. Following Christ means total submission to him, even to the point of death. And at the very least, we will have to die to ourselves. At the very least, we'll have to die to ourselves. Jesus makes his requirements clear. We got to submit to his values. And if we think about it, everything else that we want to be a part of has requirements. That's why you have job interviews to decide whether or not you want to fall up under this company and submit to their requirements. That's why you have college applications, right? Hey, when you go to a certain school, a certain university, there's certain requirements to get in. There's even certain prereqs to be able to take certain classes. I mean, even on sports teams, there's a coach. He's going to say how this team is ran. And if you want to be a part of it, you got to submit to how he wants to run the team. If not, you're not going to play. Why would it be any different for God's church? God himself has requirements for his people, both individually and as a family. This is the requirement Jesus has. Submit to his values, that we got to be all in, that we got to love him more than anybody else. It's not the path. It's not Pastor Angel. It's not our small group leaders. This is God's requirement. We got to submit to the requirements of the person who died for the church to be able to exist in the first place. And only one person died for the church, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why he goes on to tell them after that to count the cost. That's what we looked at last week, verse 28 to 30. But he wasn't done yet. He actually had another example for them. So we're going to jump to verse 31. He says this, or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Here, Jesus is saying, by the way, you want to count the cost? Listen, there's two kings, all right? There's a king with 10,000, a king with 20,000. And the way we can look at that is God is the king with 20,000. We're the king with 10,000. We need to decide whether or not we can beat God, all right? And if we decide and submit to the reality that we can't, then it's better to join him, right? Because if we can't beat him, we should join him. And so that means that he becomes king. It says that we got to send a delegate while he's still a far way off before judgment day, we got to send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. And who gets to set those terms? The king with 20,000. He gets to say, okay, this is what it takes. If you want to be at peace, then this is what it's going to take. And Jesus says, I want it all. I want it all. Now, he says that because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. Let's be real. He's a better king than we will ever be. He's way more loving. He's way more powerful. He's way more wise, right? And we can trust him that he cares about enough to want the best for us. even more than we should even trust ourselves. Now, we either willfully submit and give him everything we own, or sooner or later, he'll take it. We get to choose. We get to decide. The question for us is, what areas of our lives do we need to submit to God so that we can be victorious, because the king with 20,000 is the one that wins? What areas do we need to resubmit to God? And what ways have we strayed away? And what things have we taken back ownership of and started calling the shots on again? That's what we need to think about. There's some basic areas that all of us need to submit to Christ as King, as Lord, as boss, as head coach, whatever person of authority you can relate to, that's who Jesus has to be. The one who calls the shots, the ones we submit to, like our money. Who calls the shots on how we spend and make our money? Is it Jesus? When I think about making Jesus Lord of my money and my finances, it means, man, I'm going to prioritize the things that are important to God and his kingdom, and I'm going to invest my money into things that are going to help me spiritually, going to help other people know Jesus, help build his kingdom. All right? So how do you think about how do you spend your money? All right? I'm thinking about, man, how can I serve my family now and for generations to come? How can I be a great steward of this gift that God has given me? How do you make your decisions? What about relationships? How do we make Jesus Lord of our relationships? Well, we prioritize relationships that are going to help us grow in our relationship with God, and we invest in those relationships. When it comes to romantic relationships, the Bible is very clear about who we should seek after, who we should connect with, and it's people who have the same conviction, who also make Jesus Lord, that we should not be unequally yoked, because it's not going to work out. If Jesus is the most important thing to you and it's not the most important thing to that person, there's going to be a clash. There's going to be obstacles to overcome. Somebody's going to have to give for that relationship to work. So we have our Can We Talk Singles Weekend that's coming up. Boom. This is for all unmarried people. Whether you may be single, ready to mingle, you may be dating, you may be in a relationship or a situationship, whatever you want to call it. You're not married yet, but you want to be. This event is for you. It's an opportunity for you to prioritize and invest in something that's going to help you glorify God when it comes to your romantic relationships. So make sure you take full advantage of that. But it doesn't stop there. In our marriages, how do we make Jesus Lord? In our parenting, how do we make sure that Jesus calls the shots? Because when we come from different backgrounds, it's easy to rely on the things we've known, on the things the way we've acted, the way we've seen our parents act, more so than what Jesus says in his scriptures. And in marriage and parenting, that's relational. That it takes two people to be able to make those decisions, but two people that decide, it's not about who's right, it's about what's right, right? And that's going to be the most important thing. Making Jesus Lord of our emotions. Whew, all of us need to make Jesus Lord of our emotions. And I'm number one. I mean, some of us, we are slaves to our emotions. If our emotions want to go right, we go right. If they want to go left, we go left. Yes, master, whatever you want me to do, emotion, I'm going to do. However I feel, that's how I'm going to act out. And whatever I want to do is what I want to do. And many people live like that. I lived like that for a long time, and I'm still battling that because I feel strongly. I'm passionate, right? And so it's hard to deny myself, even though that's what Jesus calls us to do. How do we make Jesus Lord of our emotions, right? So those are the things that we got to think about. Another huge one is, how do we make Jesus Lord of our time? Man, that means we prioritize and we invest. We prioritize our relationship with God. It's got to be the first thing that we're looking forward to, spending time with God. We need it. If we want to be like Christ, we have to spend time with Christ, right? And I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, listen, I'm not just telling you to go have a quiet time, just have a quiet time, right? Like, we're not just religious in that way. But I'm telling you, to do that because right now you haven't had your quiet time yet and you're already arguing with your sister, or you're having an attitude with me, right? Or you're mad at the world already, right? That's why you need to go spend time with God, because if you want to do things the right way and you want to be like Christ and you want to be a disciple, then you have to get help from God. We all need help from God to live this out. It's hard either way, but even much more difficult if we don't spend time with God. We need God, but we also got to make ourselves available. We got to make our schedules available to be able to help people. There are so many people right now that are hurting, that are lost, that are sitting in darkness, and we have the light. But right now, some of us may have filled our schedule with other things. Even when the scriptures say, hey, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll give you everything else. But some of us are running after things of the world like pagans run after them. What's going to be most important? Are we going to prioritize and make time in our schedules to make sure that we are about the mission of Jesus Christ? You see, when we do it God's way, when we submit to him, we get to experience what it's like to be on the king's team with 20,000. We get to experience his power, his love, the benefits of his wisdom. And that's when we find out for ourselves that he is trustworthy, that we can trust him more than we can even trust ourselves. All right. So point number one, for Jesus to be Lord, to live out that core value, we must submit to his values. Point number two, for Jesus to be Lord, we must imitate his heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. In order to live like Jesus, we must love like Jesus. We must imitate his heart. The scriptures teach us that the heart determines the course of our lives. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And there's so many scriptures that give us a glimpse into the heart of Christ. One in particular that has always moved my heart, I'm going to share with you today. And it's one that Jesus quoted in reference to himself. It's in Isaiah chapter 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This is the scripture that Jesus read out loud in the synagogue when he was first starting his ministry. This was the launch of his public ministry. And he reads this scripture in the synagogue and he closes it out. And you can read this in Luke chapter 4. He closes out the reading saying, this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence. Boom. Mic drop. Let him know, I'm that guy. I'm him. I'm the one this scripture is talking about. I am the Messiah. This is my heart, and therefore my mission is clear. To proclaim the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release prisoners from darkness. But then the picture gets even more beautiful. It says he's going to comfort those who mourn and provide for those who grieve. And then he says, you know what? Let me take that and give you this. This is a great exchange, right? He said, let me take that and give you this. Let me take these ashes that symbolize grief, and I'm going to give you a crown of beauty. boom, put that on your head. And you know what? Let me take that morning and I'm gonna give you this oil of joy. Let me put that on you so you start shining. You start glowing, right? He says, and let me take that despair and give you a garment of praise. You start celebrating and praising God. Let me take that and give you something better. I love that about God. That's the heart of Jesus for the people that he values. The poor, the brokenhearted, those held captive by their sin, those living in darkness. His heart is for those who are mourning and grieving and battling with despair. That means that he values people like me, people like us. Now, I want to take a moment and just talk a little bit about something that I think needs to be talked about. And in light of recent local and even national news regarding the tragic passing of people like the MARTA CEO, Jeffrey Parker, and most recently former Miss USA, Chesley Chris, I want to address something that's a very sensitive topic and something that may even trigger us emotionally, but something that has to be addressed in the church. And I say that because there can't be any taboo subjects in the church. If we don't address it, then the world will have the only say. And yes, even our children need to hear it in a way that's age appropriate, but they need to hear it because the world's wisdom will never suffice. Now, I don't have time to give a comprehensive study today, but I do want to briefly share my thoughts and my heart on the darkest and most tragic result of despair, which is suicide. You know, we know people are hurting. We are hurting. We've been through some challenging times, for some of us, the most challenging times in our lives in these last couple of years. The trauma is real, not just in these last couple of years, but in as we've grown up through our childhood, through our adult lives, it's real. Sometimes there's even a chemical imbalance that affects our mental and emotional health. That's all real. But what's also real is that there's a better way to deal with all of it. And that starts with Jesus. Number one, I think we have to understand, have a deep conviction that Jesus still has the power to heal. He still has the power to heal. There is no issue that is taboo for Jesus. There is no illness too difficult for Jesus, physically, mentally, or emotionally. There's no weakness that Jesus cannot both sympathize with and help us overcome. His power is actually made perfect in weakness, and his grace is sufficient. Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest, Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. He says, Jesus understands whatever we are going through. There is nothing that he cannot understand, that he cannot relate to, nothing that he did not struggle with. And yet he shows us a way to be victorious. And that's by going to him, approaching the throne of grace, that his doors are always open. He's like, my office hours are always on. Like, you can always come. And you know what? I'm going to give you the grace you need when you need it the most. When do we need it the most? When we're at our wit's end, when we're at the brink of despair. It says, come to me, I got you. So yes, Jesus still has the power to heal, both miraculously and through traditional pathways like scientific methods and healthcare professionals who are experts in their fields. And let's be real, I mean, the traditional American church, and specifically the Black church, hasn't supported therapy, hasn't supported that concept of mental health. But we do as a church. I do. I mean, I've been in some dark places that have caused me to act out in ways that have been detrimental to myself, my own goals and dreams, the people I love, my marriage, my family. And I've had to get therapy. I'm in therapy right now. And I get it consistently because I want to make sure that I get the help I need to deal with the negative emotions that I go through. But what I've learned is that just because it's a mental health issue doesn't mean it's not a spiritual issue as well. You see, Satan doesn't say, well, there's nothing off limits for Satan. There's no issue, no way that he's going to say, no, I'm not going to try to get him that way. There's not a people group that he's not going to touch. Like he's going to have mercy on our kids because they're children. He doesn't work like that. He doesn't have that in him. And so we got to understand that we cannot replace Jesus with therapy. We can't do it. We instead use professional counseling as a tool that works best with the help of the Holy Spirit, under the lordship of Jesus, and within a loving and authentic community, a safe space. That should be the church. Now, anybody that has gone through therapy knows that therapy itself doesn't fix you. There is no therapist that is going to fix you. There's no magic potion. Therapy gives us the tools that we need to start making the decisions necessary to promote spiritual, physical, mental, emotional well-being. But we still got to make those choices, even in our relationship with God. It's faith and deeds. Like I said, it's obvious that people are hurting, and my heart goes out to them and the families that are going through and suffering and have suffered in the past. I myself have lost friends and loved ones to suicide, and I know what it's like. But if people get to the place where taking their own lives is the only or the best option in their minds, and we have a serious problem. If you're in a dark place, if you're struggling with feelings of despair and hopelessness, and you're contemplating your options, weighing your options, I ask you and I beg of you and I plead with you to take suicide off the table. There's always a better option. Can we agree on that? Now, this may be you today. But if it is, you've come to the right place, because the Church of Jesus Christ is filled with broken people who simply decided to make Jesus Lord by submitting to his values and imitating his heart. And we, as a church, the Path, we want to be a place, more than a place, we want to be a community where we can experience God, where we can trade in those ashes for a crown of beauty, where we can trade in our mourning for all the oil of joy and trade in that despair for the garment of praise. And I want to go back to that scripture and reference the end of that scripture, because it's a beautiful picture of who God will transform us into. He says, they will be called oaks of righteousness. Well, who is they? It's us. We will rebuild and restore and renew the places long devastated for generations. It's us who are being healed and transformed. We will pay it forward. That's how we imitate the heart of Jesus for the people he values. And that's why it's so important, like I talked about before, for Jesus to be Lord of our time, and for us to make ourselves available to spend time with people, to listen to them, to serve them, and just to do our part to help them to see that Jesus is always the best option, always has been and always will be. So today, this week, how will we practically imitate the heart of Jesus? Well, I'm gonna give us homework. Homework for this week is to carve out 10 minutes this week to live out the heart of Jesus by giving someone your undivided attention. To just spend that time listening, asking follow-up questions. No need to preach to them. Just listening to them, finding out how they are really doing and how we can best serve them. You may say, I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know. Well, ask God to open that door. Ask God to make it clear. Keep praying until he does. And this may be as simple as your spouse or your kids. We don't have to overcomplicate it. All right? So I hope you will take up that challenge for the week. As we take communion, I want us to meditate on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." Suffering is a part of life, always has been, always will be. And yet God calls us to make the most of it. So let's suffer like Jesus and for Jesus and with Jesus as we submit to his values and imitate his heart. And that's when we're going to see the power of God move in ways that we could never have imagined. All right, so let's go ahead and pray for our communion. God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord, because you never change. You are the same. And no matter what we go through in this life, you remain the same. All powerful, all loving, all wise, and we submit ourselves to you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made. We thank you for the ways that he healed in the scriptures, and he still heals today. Father, we thank you that we can always have hope, that the best is always yet to come for us who follow Jesus. And help us at this time to think about what areas we may need to give back to you and make you Lord over. God, help us that out of the gratitude that we have for Jesus dying on the cross and being buried and resurrecting to new life, out of that gratitude that for us to have new life, that we want to also be able to imitate his heart and provide that opportunity for other people to have new life as well. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.